And then our guest, this is cool. This is very cool. Another guest from the Estrogen Dominance Support Group. I mean, that group just keeps giving, I'm telling you. This is Laura Vida, and she is an interior alchemist and a feng shui master. She's a geomancer. Guys, do you know any geomancers? Well, you're about to. She's an interior designer, a life coach, an international top-selling realtor, and holds a master's degree in spiritual psychology. She has over 27 years of training in the esoteric arts and effectively bridges the energetic world with a successful coaching, counseling, design, and real estate practice. I think it's kind of cool. It's fall, it's Halloween, and I thought, I'm going to get a geomancer on. anyway, it's a really cool... a really cool podcast. It's unique and awesome. She is awesome. I really like her. I think that she and I should hang out. And at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give you, or she's giving you, a free gift, and it's worth a lot of money. So stay tuned. Enjoy. So just briefly, tell us what brought you to Estrogen Dominance. Was it Estrogen Dominance?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yeah, I hit the wall about, you know, actually it started in 2011 when I found myself passed out in front of my front door stoop. I woke up, I was on the ground after I trail run and then did some planks and, you know, I used to do kettlebells and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I found myself, I woke up and I was shaking like this. And I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? So I had to, you know, went to the emergency room, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently I just, I didn't know what it was, but I knew it had, I knew that I had been told I was anemic, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought, maybe I don't have the blood to carry the oxygen to my brain. And it just gave me a blackout that had never happened before. So that just kind of started me down the route of, you know, what's going on with my body. So let's see, I'm 53 now. So yeah, whatever, 48. And I'm still, you know, cycling. So I'm not in menopause yet. I'm in perimenopause. So it's, you know, a good 5-year journey of really, you know, doing everything to figure out what's wrong with me and how can I get back to living the life that I've been doing? You know, how can I get back to, you know, kicking butt and making things happen in my life? And
wow. That's so familiar to so many listeners, I'm sure, you know, including me. Well, you look amazing for 53. Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm right there. I'm right behind you. I'll be 50, November. Yeah. 27th. So we made it. So then you did real estate. For how long did you do real estate before it shifted into this magical, by the way, my favorite word, amazing, that you used was geomancer. So how did, what happened? So you became a real estate agent and then you migrated and converged your existing knowledge of this stuff, or you acquired it? How did it happen?
Yeah. So the seed was planted in the early 1970s. I'll just make this really brief, but my family did the whole 1975 living off the land thing.
Oh, cool.
Living off the land. So we were homesteading. I was raised like, this is not hippies. This is Little House on the Prairie.
Cool.
Self-sufficiency, you know, cutting trees, skinning them, building a log cabin, living off the land, no TV, heating with wood, all of that.
Wow.
Raising your own food. So I was raised that way. And, you know, that really imbued me with a sense of cycles of life, you know, cycles of nature, what it means to be connected, because that's all you had. There was no distraction living that way. You know, you're in nature. Mm-hmm. And then I started studying feng shui in 1992. Because I was always interested in why people live the way that they live. And by the way, I hated living that way.
Oh, really? Well, of course, right? Right. When you're a kid, it's like...
Yeah, I hated it. Yeah, I was a very feminine little girl, so I really didn't like all the rusticness. So I got really interested in why people live the way that they do and how their space affects them, because I was so affected by my space, right? So I started studying that in 1992, then went into interior design and just kind of combining design with feng shui. So I was kind of in that whole realm, but I was doing commercial design, spas, restaurants, hotels.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Doctor's offices, you know, and, you know, how you affect the way people feel by what you're choosing to surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where it started. And then moved to, you know, I live in Sedona, which is right, this woo-woo capital of the world, basically.
Right.
Yeah. But here, instead of getting woo-woo, I got super practical.
Oh, how funny.
And I jumped into real estate. And for the past 18 years, worked as a top-selling realtor at a, you know, very successful multi-six-figure income that I chose to leave behind about a year ago.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So, yeah. So I did this whole cool transition thing.
Wait a minute. Okay. So then tell me how that happened. I mean, why that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was about two years ago when let me bring in that timeline. Let's say it's more like a year and a half ago now that I just hit the wall. Now I hit the wall. My estrogen dominance was not getting better. You know, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do.
So wait, how old are you at this point?
I'm 50, let's see, around 50.
Okay. So that makes sense. Okay.
50. Yeah. 50, 51 in that zone. And for me, it was everything from, you know, cysts to bleeding out every month, twice a month, exhaustion. But I had a really, you know, high-powered, stressful real estate career.
Mm-hmm.
And then my health just, you know, when you need to make a change in your life, something's going to tell you it's time to make that change. Because I lost my ability to, I guess, to tune in and see where I was disconnected. I didn't even realize how disconnected I was. Mm. I was just working hard and making good money and being there for my clients and being the best agent in town and all this stuff. All of a sudden, that didn't seem to matter anymore when you're lying on the sofa and you can't get up because...
Or on your front door stoop because you've passed out, right?
Exactly. Or that, right? You know, so... So I realized that if I knew there was a moment when I knew that if I didn't make a change, something really bad was going to happen with my health. I just knew it. Like it was going to go to a whole new level.
Yeah.
So I stopped. I just stopped.
Wow. And so you must have been afraid though.
Yes. It made no logical sense. You know, my husband wasn't employed. I was the major breadwinner. So to stop was like, I was subconsciously, I think I was waiting for somebody's permission. You know how we can make ourselves sick in order to like take a day off?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know how that works, right? Uh-huh. So we have somehow the permission, like, oh, you better go lay down. Mm-hmm. Instead of knowing that we're getting burned out. So I think I was looking for that permission of like, yeah, okay, let's, you know, you need to stop, you need to slow down. But because what I really needed was to give myself that permission.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally did. Yeah. So I stopped.
You said something earlier, you said, you know, I think you said your life tells you when it's time to change or when you need to make a change. And I feel like that comes a lot in different forms and in different, it's really subtle at first. Like I feel like when I was a kid, I used to get these messages all the time. You know, I would feel, and I think it was just because I was sick so much, so frequently. So the older, as I was aging, as I got older, I was like, you know, I'm getting these messages about things that I need to do. Like I need to rest. I need to take a break. I need to get out of town. And I was really good at listening to those. And then I don't know what happened along the way. I think it's maybe a resistance to, maybe for you, it was, you were just working so much. For me, I think maybe it was a resistance to aging, maybe to knowing that, you know, even though I was getting healthier in a lot of other ways, there was other things that were happening, like the hormonal stuff. And I felt like, oh my gosh, is this perimenopause? And I was kind of avoiding it. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So those signs, you can listen to them, the subtle ones, or you get like banged over the head with a concrete anvil, like I did and like you did, where it's like, oh my God, I could actually die right now. This could be a problem right now. Right. And that was massive for me too. But this is such a beautiful transition here, because at the time that that happened to me, we were moving. And someone put in my mailbox the Marie Kondo book. Mm. What is it called again? The
Tidying Up, or The Art of Tidying Up.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, yeah. And I took that book and was like, oh my God, because we had to downsize and really downsize. And so, and I feel like that book was a massive shift for me. So talk about like that, about how, you know, so you're doing real estate, you don't feel well, you're overworked, you're doing interior design, you're just overworked, and then you stop. Mm-hmm. Now what happens with how you transition into what you're doing now?
Okay. Yeah. So at that moment when I knew I had to stop, I was so connected. I'm going to, you know, introduce this theory that I was so connected to my masculine self, which is about doing, accomplishing, being, getting out there. And I think even satisfying everybody's needs. It's all about doing. I was so in that world that I had lost touch with what it meant to be feminine. Like somehow I associated that with weakness in some way, like meekness. Mm-hmm. And ultimately that was what the journey of perimenopause was to teach me, was about. So stopping means stopping expressing myself that way and get reconnected with my body, and see what's truly there. I mean, there is a way of being effective and creative, and accomplishing things in the world, but not from a masculine perspective of doing. And I had to learn how to be that way, so that you're attracting what's right for you, because you're vibrating at a certain level. I don't mean to get too far out there, but this will transfer into what you're talking about, Marie Kondo. So, you know, her concept of tidying up, you know, it is super important. I've got a different perspective on it, but just that, you know, you can say clearing your clutter or whatever it is, downsizing. Everything that you own holds an energy, kind of like everything that you're attached to, every group you belong to, every organization you belong to, whatever you attach yourself to, somehow holds an energy. By getting rid of things and letting them go, you're then calling this energy back to you. Okay, so that's why if you go into a home, like I know this from real estate, showing homes, people go into homes, they are not interested in buying that home because it's so filled with somebody else's personal stuff that they can't imagine their own life in that space. Mm-hmm. So when you let go of things, you've just freed up that energy for something else, to create something else in your life. It's super important. Mm. So I think her work is, and how that's really kind of broken into the mindset of America,
Clearing
your clutter and organizing your stuff.
It's like the first step, right? It's almost like for me as a, you know, as a health educator, it's like, I'm not going to jump into the matrix of, you know, steroidal pathways and hormone stuff. And I'm going to start with, what are you eating and how are you digesting it? And, totally. And it's like, let's just start there. Let's get the clutter out of your gut.
Exactly. Right? 100%. 100%. Mm. And then what I'm doing is not just the space, but also your mindset. I think that they're key. Mm-hmm. You know, after practicing this for, you know, 27 years, what I started to see just in, you know, in space and feng shui and things like that, is that it's, yes, feng shui, clearing your clutter, all this stuff is super powerful, and people's lives did change, you know, they got the job or the relationship or whatever it was they were trying to create. And it was fast. So mm-hmm. you think, oh, okay, I'm doing the right thing, more of that. But then a year or so later, it would kind of spiral back around where they're in another relationship that was, you know, with the same pattern, mm-hmm. or the job that they're in was just as stressful as the one they were in before. And I started thinking, why does this happen? It's more than just your space. So the way I see it is that, okay, your space, your home, your office or whatever, particularly your home represents the physical body. So you can go into a home, or I can go into a home, I can read the space and I know what's going on in someone's consciousness and their body.
Hmm.
Okay. Once you've lived in a home for at least 3 months, you start to take on, you know, the energy of the space, the land, affects you and your body. So you can see what's going on, but it's also that your consciousness affects your space. So the reason you chose that space is because it matches what you already think about yourself, and you're going to decorate the way you already think about yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, good.
And it seems like what you said about it's like if someone is a hoarder, like a clinical hoarder, you know, you can go in and, you know, take them on a vacation somewhere, and while they're gone, you can clear out their house. And then if they survive coming back and dealing with that, yeah. and they're like, oh, everything's gone and now my house is in order and perfect, you yeah. give it a couple of months and it'll be that same situation again. They'll go back right. to hoarding because it's ultimately like their, right. it's what's in their mind, isn't it?
Correct.
It's just a reflection.
Correct.
Where you live is just a reflection of what's going on inside you. So you're saying it's also what's going on inside your body.
Correct.
Physically.
So, right. So with hoarding or clutter, so people that hang on to stuff, think of it this way. If you're trying to find the motivation to, you know, let go of things, is hoarding or clutter is like poverty. It's a poverty mentality, because what you're thinking in your subconscious is that there's not enough and someday I might need this. So I'm going to hang on to it because I'm never going to get a better whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that feeling of there's not enough is poverty mentality. When you let go of things, you're now saying, I know that I'm making myself ready for something better and something that's more in alignment with who I am today, not who I was 20 years ago.
Got it. So what about the kind of like the opposite? Because I'm a little bit like the opposite. And okay. I, you know, since I was really little, I was always like, I didn't take care of my dolls. And I, you know, my sister wouldn't let me near her stuff because she knew I'd break it, or she knew I would, do, you know, lose it. And so, but I was also the kid, I don't know if there's other kids like this, but I would like move my room around. Like, you know, once a month I would redecorate my room and I'd move my bed and I'd clean under all the dust bunnies under the bed. And my husband calls those Fred's kids, you know, the big dust bunnies that come out. I guess he grew up, they called them Fred's kids.
Okay, never heard that.
So cute. I love it. So I clean up the Fred's kids. Like I was like that. And now I'm still like that, where I will get rid of something. And then a month later, I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I throw that away? Like, so I have the opposite. What does that say about me?
I mean, you throw away things that you do need later?
That I need later. Yeah, where I feel like, oh, I don't need this. I have too much of this stuff. I'm going to throw it away. And then a month later, I'm like, why did I throw that away? Or why did I give that dress away? Or what was I thinking? I could totally use that right now.
Okay. But do you also think that you are someone whose life moves along and there's always new things coming and new opportunities and new experiences?
Yeah. I'm always also hoping for that. I'm always like, okay, if I just, like you said, you know, if I clear the space, new things will happen. You know, when I feel depressed, I'll just try to get the energy and I'll just rearrange everything. And then,
Kitty, that's so great. That's exactly it. I do the same thing. Yay! I do the same thing. I do it all. So if your life is stuck somehow, or you feel like, clean out a closet.
Yeah.
Clean out a drawer. Just move stuff, rearrange your, and your life will start to flow again. So, you know, It depends. So like if I were working with you, it would depend on, you know, what we were working on specifically. Like if you said, geez, I feel like I'm moving too much and I kind of want to just slow down and stay in place for a little bit. I want to bring that into balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that we could do, you know, feng shui wise to slow the energy a little bit.
You really made so much sense, because that is something that happens in my life where I feel like too much is happening at once. You know, I'll go from this stagnant position to all of a sudden, like now, where I literally have so many things going on that I just, it's like, so maybe, it's like I need to slow. It's like almost too much chi, right? Too much chi flow.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, yeah, I don't want to turn this into a session about me.
Okay. There's ways you can slow it down.
Okay. So what's the difference though? So you don't just do a type of feng shui, right? You do other, like you incorporate other things obviously that have to do with, you know, balancing spiritual health, physical health.
So ultimately like attracts like, okay. That's how life works in my experience. It's kind of like life is a giant mirror reflecting back to you, whatever it is you're putting out. So if you don't like where you are in your life, you go back to yourself and you're kind of like you're raising. What I want to do ultimately is raise the vibration in your mind, your body, your spirit, and your home. It's like these four pillars. These are ways that you can support yourself being more in alignment with who you are and how you want to move forward. So for example, your home and your body, so I worked with a woman who had TMJ.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
In the home, your front door relates to your jaw. Okay. That's your front door. That's your mouth of chi, your front door.
Okay.
So I went to meet her at her house. It was an old farmhouse in the country. And I'm walking up the pathway from the drive to the front door. And there's no stairs to the front door. Like someone had removed them.
Mm-hmm.
So I reach up to, there's like, you have to like reach up to open the door. It was sealed off. So I went into the side door and I asked her, you know, she told me what's going on. And I said, well, what's going on with your front door? And she said, oh, we don't use that anymore. We just sealed it off. And there's, you know, piece of furniture in front of it and whatever. We just came in through the side door. So it's fascinating. I mean, it's really, Kitty, it's that specific.
Wow.
So you can really, you know, say someone doesn't have a back door. What if you don't have a back door of your body? Can you correlate that? What would happen?
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It's a problem.
Right.
We have to create it. We have to create it with a window. You know, so there's this whole transcendental cures where they're not specifically a back door in the house because maybe you're in an apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to, in your consciousness, create a back door. Or sometimes you have to change your front door. There's all kinds of things. I'm a big believer in, you know, learning the tools of the practice. You know, it's a 6,000-year-old tradition, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you can expand them or break them or add your own things to them. So
that's amazing. I'm like, of course, my head is going crazy. So, what about an environment that is like, okay, so the heart of the home. What's the heart of the home usually?
Yeah, so the heart of the home.
Or is that just depends on each person?
It can somewhat depend, but usually it's in the center of the house. The center of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've seen houses that have a spiral staircase up the center, or sometimes a fireplace in the center. So sometimes there's just every area has its own element too. So you're working on these kind of multi levels.
Mm-hmm.
But say you're working with, you know, let's say relationships, because that's always a big thing for people. Okay, you're going to go to the master bedroom because that the master bedroom correlates with romantic relationships, and you're going to balance the element, which is earth. You're going to use certain colors. You can't have too much metal. I mean, there's all of these things.
Oh, wow.
But then you've got to look at the mindset. So Yeah. So the mindset would be, what are your feelings around romantic relationships? What's your history? And then what do you believe? Do you believe you're lovable and worthy of, a supportive, loving relationship? And if we're caught there, let's look at that. Let's see where that comes from, and let's just clear that. Then you make the changes in the bedroom. And then every time you see those changes, it reinforces in your brain what it is you're trying to draw into your life. It's creating new neural pathways. So you've changed what you're putting out there, so what's reflected back to you will change.
I feel like this stuff is really important. I know you know that, but it's like because it makes sense in every way as far as like your microbiome and your health and how you like. I remember when I started teaching people how to make cultured veggies and stuff, I was trying to teach them how to set up their kitchen. And one of the things that I noticed myself was that if my kitchen, because we've moved so much, my husband and I, and I remember saying, your kitchen needs to be a place that you want to go into. And I hate doing dishes. It's like the only chore in the world that I hate. And so I would have to create this environment of my kitchen that was like a priority. Every time I saw a dirty dish, I had to wash it because otherwise, if there's dirty dishes in my kitchen, I couldn't go in. So I would ask people about their kitchens. How do you feel about your kitchen? Do you like going into your kitchen? Of course, that's a whole other like what you do. You literally could just make a living doing that as you do, because it's a whole other set of, skills to teach people. And so when I realized on my own that I needed to start making my kitchen more welcoming for myself, not just with the dish thing, but where are all my fermenting jars? And when you ferment stuff, it can smell funny. And so where is that place? And I don't want my kitchen to smell funny because then I'll be embarrassed to have people in it. And so I had to like really do some thinking about this, and it changed everything in how I feel about my kitchen. So you're saying the exact same thing about your home as a whole, and that I think it's really important for people to do that in every single room, right? The whole house.
Yeah, that's interesting that you would say that. Yes, I mean, eventually you do get to that place, but I mean, I'm constantly tweaking things. But really, it's what you're working on in your life in that moment. So it doesn't have to be this overwhelming, I got to change my whole house. I got to change my, I got to do all of this. I got to get rid of all of this stuff. It's really identifying what's up for you now. What are you working on now? And then let's look just at that area, because once we, that's sort of an anchor for right now, and then that starts flowing, whether it's health, relationships, finances, career, whatever it is, then we can go to the next level. But if you do it all at once, it's a little chaotic and overwhelming for people. You want to give them just what, can really make a difference. So if there was one area that really would make a difference for everyone across the board, it would be your front entrance. I believe that. I mean, clearing the clutter is up there, big time. It's up there, just like we talked about. But as far as actually making, a feng shui adjustment would be your front entrance, which is the mindset is how are you at receiving? Are you open to receiving? Or do you throw up your own blocks? And I mean everything from someone says, oh, Kitty, you look beautiful today. Do you brush it off and say, oh God, my hair's a mess? Or do you take it in, and say, thank you, I appreciate that. Because you have to be able to do that to then attract a client who's going to say, yeah, I want to hire you to be my personal whatever chef or whatever it is. So your front door, making sure that's clear and open and bright, uplifting, works, the door.
You have one.
And yes, because what you're doing is you're calling in that energy of I'm ready to receive, and you got to get it in the house. And then we can talk about, or get it into your body, right? Then we can talk about, the other areas of your life. But if it's not coming in the front door, it's not going anywhere.
Interesting. Well, what if you don't really want a bunch of people at your front door? Like, I'm not the person that, that you can just drop in on? Because I'll hide. Like if somebody shows up at my door and they're like, hey, you know, like we have this really cute little courtyard with these bungalows that face each other. And everyone, we're all in a like group text. So if anybody, in fact, I just got a text before we got on this call about a neighbor asking me about my hookup on it, blah, blah, blah. So we're like chatting through email. But one of the guys, he's a Midwest kid. He's really young. He was a surfer dude and he really just likes to keep things old school. Mm-hmm. And he likes to just come to the door, knock at the door. And I'm just like, that is weird. And so he'll show up to the door, you know, I'll see his shadow and I'm like hiding, you know, and it's not like I'm in here naked or doing anything wrong or whatever, but it's just like, I don't know. I'm not like a drop in on you person. And so if my door is too welcoming, right?
Like, okay. So let's clarify this. So it's not about people coming to your front door. It's about energy. It's about good luck. It's about finance. It's about attracting beneficial health, everything that uplifts you.
So it's a symbol of receiving.
Of receptivity. Okay. Yes. To life itself, not necessarily people.
Okay.
And you know, unless you were trying to, you know, attract a relationship, if, you know, your front door isn't, or if you've got TMJ or something right. going on in your mouth.
Right? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Where's the uterus of the house? Is that the bedroom?
Well, there is a relationship there. Bedroom for sure. Yeah. There is definitely a relationship there, but that's also your center of creativity. Okay. So for women, your center of creativity. So when, you know, we have issues, this is just one way of looking at things. If we have issues in that area of our body, what would happen if you changed your belief to see that your body's trying to help you? And by encapsulating toxins, it's actually trying to protect you from these toxins. And cysts and polyps and growths are creative ideas that are wanting you to give birth to them.
Oh my God. That is amazing.
So when we don't, they encapsulate, right? They encapsulate, they hold their little births. And like for me, for myself, when I started allowing myself back in touch with my creativity, because I'd been right in the masculine business world for so long, I started writing, painting, you know, going in this whole different direction. I don't have that issue anymore. Those cysts, polyps went away, also with progesterone, also with mineral optimization. But if I didn't do the emotional work of what, I mean, that's our most feminine place, mm-hmm. right? It's where we give birth to our ideas. And then how we express them is through our throat chakra, our thyroid. Mm-hmm. That's your creative self-expression. So you give the idea, it comes from that area of your body, and then you release it. A lot of women have lost their voice. Mm-hmm. They're afraid to speak up. They're afraid to share what they know from a deep level inside. Mm-hmm. So they can talk about what they know, but they may not be able to share what their dreams are, who they really are inside, what they really long for and desire.
Wow.
So those have places in the home as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah. That's amazing. As I'm also thinking about, you know, as we age, you know, how you start to maybe start to, like I was saying earlier about resisting aging, and you start to realize
totally
some of your dreams and your creative ideas aren't going to be realized, or because you've got a family and you've got, maybe you're going through divorce, you've got all this stuff going on, you're realizing, oh my goodness, these creative ideas that I have are stuck now.
Right.
That is so fascinating and amazing.
Yes. So that's the emotional connection to your body. And if you were to only look for the right hormone supplement, whatever, you're just going to be banging your head against the wall. It's going to take a whole lot longer because you're missing the point of perimenopause, which is really a kind of a looking back into, okay, who am I now? Yeah, this really is a change of life. Mm-hmm. You know, resisting aging, I get it. LL Cool J and I were out there swinging kettlebells on a regular basis until I passed out, right?
Oh my gosh.
And the first thing I wanted to do was figure out how to get back to that, you know, ass-kicking person that I was.
Yeah.
Where if you look at all of the, you know, ancient traditions, it's not a time of, you know, drying up as a woman. It's a time of really using our creativity for ourselves and what we want to bring forward. So like in the Mayan belief system, 52 is the rebirth day.
Wow.
It's the called the doorway. It's when you take everything that you've learned your whole life and you're able to bring it forward in a new way for yourself and for the world. And Native American traditions, you weren't allowed to teach until you were 52. Then you gained the wisdom. So there's something about this age and what's happening with our body. So it's, you know, removing that whole idea that, you know, you're getting older and everything's going to, you know, go to hell in a handbasket. Mm-hmm. It's really not true. It's the opportunity to step forward in a new way.
Yeah.
You know, and from my perspective, it's from a more a feminine foundation. It's this new way of being in the world.
That's beautiful. And that should be something that is taught so that we could incorporate what we're learning in the, you know, world of medicine and functional medicine, that is, and how to kind of bring those together. Because a lot of women, I can hear them in cyberspace right now saying, well, yeah, that's great, but I feel like holy hell now, you know, that I'm 52. And how am I supposed to? But incorporating the concept of, you know, releasing those ideas, and it all kind of has to come together, doesn't it, in a cohesive way?
It does. It's so frustrating when you're feeling that way and you're watching your body, you know, put on weight, and you're just, you're emotional, you're, all these things are happening. I 100% get that, have been there, have lived that for years. But what really turned the corner for me was the, you know, knowing that I had to stop doing things the way I was doing them. And just the whole mineral regulation was huge, and the progesterone was huge, but the mindset stuff was just super key of what were my dreams when I was little? What did I think I was going to do with my life? Did I think I was just going to grow up to be a great real estate agent?
Right.
No, not for me. There are other things that I always wanted to do, things that I'm much more passionate about. Mm-hmm. So opening that dialogue. So keys for me, setting up your morning is primary. You've got to take the time to give to yourself first before you engage with the world. Mm-hmm. So resisting picking up your phone and checking your social media, because everything is not about your own energy and using your own energy. As human beings, we can plug back into source, whatever that is for you, and let that be the driving force of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can talk about meditation. You know, I journal every morning, just a 3 pages every morning of just a mind dump, or asking for help. You know, here's where I need help. Having a conversation with myself or God or, you know, my grandmother or whatever it is, or part of my body that's giving me problems. What are you trying to say to me? Let's just have a conversation and start answering yourself. Vows are ways that you get reconnected. I look at it like a lot of people say they can't meditate because their mind won't still. Look at it this way. What you're doing is you're taking 5 minutes to literally 5 minutes. And think of yourself like an electric car where you're plugging back into the source of that power. You don't have to feel it. Eventually you might or you might not, but just having the intention and the willingness will start to shift your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not you and your mind trying to figure out everything. There's another power that's, you know, guiding you.
My issue with the morning is that if I want some time to myself, I have to get up a lot earlier than my husband. And that's really hard, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being a baby because I think about like people who have to get up at 4 in the morning for whatever. So, but it's hard. And then, I'm kind of lucky because I don't have such, I do have a demanding day, but it's really up to me. I have kind of self-motivate to create my day. But if I need to rest, then I'll rest, But, people with children and with really demanding jobs, they can't do that. So they've got to get up in the morning before their kids and before their husband and take, 15 minutes to first try to open their eyes. So I'm just saying what I know people are going to think. And so what do you say? Do you think it can wait till later, or do you think it has to be in the morning?
I think there's a real truth when women are going through perimenopause to prioritize yourself. Like I had to create boundaries with my husband. You don't live in a huge house. The man's got a ton of energy. He's a redhead. He's got a lot of energy. And everybody can't do this, but I created a room that's my room. And when the door's closed, he does not enter. And he, in fact, brings my tea and tucks me in and puts my journal on my lap and leaves because
Oh.
I trained him to know how important this is to me. If I don't do this, I will not be in alignment the rest of the day. I'll just be different. I'll be more short, more impatient. So, because I had this health challenge, I had to start making choices to prioritize myself. I just had to. It doesn't mean that it's easy. There's
Right.
going to be all kinds of resistances. But there
Yeah.
is something special about, I believe in the whole idea of co-creating your reality. So I like to plant seeds, when I plug in and fill up, and then I plant seeds, then I get active. Let's get active with this. What do I want in my life today? Oh, I imagine this, incredible conversation with Kitty today, or I imagine, whatever it is, I put those out there and I see them. I'm just planting seeds because they're going to come back to me, right? And then I start my day, and literally that takes me the time that my tea is brewing to do that.
Right.
So, I'm not like a half an hour, 45-minute hour meditator, but I do it because I know that I need it. Well, actually, that's not true, because then I write for then I write for half an hour, and then I go for a hike every morning.
Yeah, you have. I can see that now about you and what you said when you before you started. When you were really gung ho and you had this sort of masculine perspective of how you were taking things on, it seems like you do have some of that sort of A type a little bit.
Yes, I do. I had to relearn. I had to remember. I had to learn the other.
Yeah.
Now I hike instead of doing kettlebells, right?
Yeah. That must have been a tough transition, though, right? Because at first.
Oh, I resisted it so much. I refused. I kept saying, I know I'm turning 50, 49, whatever, 48. I refuse to get, fat, frumpy, and dumpy. I'm not doing that thing. I'm not doing it. So
Yeah.
I did everything else, that I could think of to not get that way, yet I still passed out, right? I
Yeah.
still was rushed to the emergency room because I really wasn't, I was still trying to fight it. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to find what's wrong with me. I'm going to find the right supplement. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to research it.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
just the opposite.
Interesting. Yeah. When I wake up in the morning, so if I sleep through the night, I wake up on my own pretty early, like 6 o'clock, and I can easily get up and do my pray, and I can pray, and that's amazing for my day. And I can just, it doesn't take me long, and then I can do it again later when I get in the sauna, which is a good 45
Right.
minutes.
Me
So
too.
that's
Sauna, true.
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I don't sleep through the night, and there's many reasons why that could happen, and one of them is, and this might be something to look at from your perspective, is we are on a pretty busy street, and our bedroom window sits on the busy street. So it's a neighborhood, so it's not like a main street, but it's definitely active. And I, if I hear, and it's only because a couple of things have happened in the past where like someone was breaking rear view mirrors on cars. And so now anytime I hear anything, my eyes open. And it's like, Yeah. And that's, I don't know how to fix that. We have maybe get a white noise machine now. Maybe that might be, but then I'm like, wait a second, but I have to hear that. Cause then I've got to like jump into action if someone's doing something bad, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like 50-50 now, like 50% of the time I sleep through the night and 50% I don't. And that's a bummer. That's lately too.
Okay. Yes. So, sleeping tips. Because I was in this, well, I was in a boat, and it comes with perimenopause too, where mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're not sleeping well. Mm-hmm. If I'm not sleeping well and pushing it all day, forget it. Of course I'm going to bleed out every month. Come on.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I'm losing my life force left and right.
Mm.
So sleeping is key. So here's my tips. And I understand this, right? Because I grew up in the woods. So if I hear noise, my husband calls me, you know, the princess and the pea. I can't have anything. I
mean, that's funny. Like
a pillow under my knees, a certain pillow under my head, and then the other one. And then I can't have the window open because I can't hear any noise. I need the fan on in case I get a hot flash. I mean, I'm like, the internet must be unplugged. I mean, you say this a lot, but let me tell you something. If you track your sleep, okay, so I always wear an Oura ring.
Okay.
Or Oura.
Okay.
And I learned that from Dave Asprey.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to figure out why I wasn't sleeping. So once I started tracking my REM and deep sleep and light sleep, I could see what was affecting it.
Oh.
So I could see if I ate too late. Oh, look how that affected my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
If I was watching TV too long. And then you can make the adjustments to learn, if I do this first thing in the morning, like the light that goes through your eyeballs first thing in the morning affects how you sleep that night.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that really helped me sleep deeply.
No way. I've been wanting to get those. Wearing the red light glasses.
Yeah. These are the True Dark glasses.
They're right there. I have to take a picture. Smile. There we go.
So I started wearing these at night. When we watching TV before bed. And then I do.
Which brand are they?
True Dark.
True Dark.
They're Dave Asprey's thing.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I figured, I do enough of my own research.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a research freak. So let's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then these are the ones I do during the day when I'm on my computer. They're just heaters, but they're also from True Dark.
Okay.
Heaters with a yellow tint.
Okay.
You need some blue light during the day. You don't want
to. And then you just got your strength of readers.
Correct.
With the correct. Yellow, what's the yellow tint?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The yellow tint, because you need some blue light during mm-hmm. the day. You don't want to just go to sleep while you're trying to work. And then the red one, you will feel as you're wearing them, your eyelids start to get like tired, like heavy.
Oh, cool.
It's really interesting. I don't need to wear them anymore, but uh-huh. I did just to like get my body to remember, we're going into
back
deep
to the little
mode.
House in the prairie days.
Right, exactly. Because if you're only, so REM sleep is when your thoughts, your brain, you're dreaming, right? And then deep sleep is when your hormones are repairing themselves.
Oh boy.
So I wasn't getting deep sleep and I'm so frustrated.
Do you know
really when
that's
a that
particular
out.
Time of night?
Not necessarily, no. I usually, it seems, but I think it's different for every body. For me, yeah. I now that I'm sleeping well, I drop right into deep sleep.
Okay.
Immediately, which means I might have hiked a little bit too much that day.
Right.
I have to move my body in order to clear my thoughts and to get inspiration.
Nice.
You know.
I like it. I like it. Your husband calls you Princess in the Pea. My husband calls me first responder. It's like, what was that? I gotta go. I run out the door at 3 o'clock in the morning. And like,
who sleeps closer to the door? You or your husband?
Well, he sleeps closer to the window that faces the street, and then I sleep closer to the front, to the door exiting the bedroom. But the bedroom is this big, you know. It's like, oh, you're saying because I am that person that would exit out the door. Got
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes it'll be, Yeah, there's a whole thing with feng shui and sleeping better and where the woman should be and where the man should be. Like the protector would be closer to the door.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because I don't even realize I'm doing that because when we got our house in Nevada City and we set up our master bedroom, I was like, okay, this is my side, you know? And he's like, whatever side you want, you know, okay, whatever you need to do to go to sleep. And it is right next to the door.
Yeah. So especially if the door's behind you, is it behind you? Like on the same wall as the bed or are you looking across at it?
Here I'm looking at it to my, in front of me. So it's in front of me. And then the one at home, I mean, that was a little bit Freudian, in Nevada City. And that home is like right here behind my right side of my head.
That's tricky. That's a little bit tricky. Because you would have, so subconsciously you would have no time to protect yourself.
Interesting.
If somebody broke in. And I feel like as women, we always have a little alert. We are always looking in ways that men have no idea.
Uh-huh.
If you've ever walked down the street or hiking in the woods, whatever it is, I always have a little alert on of, you know, is that a weirdo? Is that guy going to get me? Is that subconscious? It's subconscious.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then I
locked my bedroom door.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I lock the windows. My husband says, like, you know, you live in Sedona. Why are you locking the windows?
Right.
Well, I just because, feel better.
Yeah. You never know.
I sleep with a mask on at night.
Uh-huh. I do. I've tried it and I always take it off in the middle of the night. You know, with the Queen of Thrones and the caster packing stuff, I started to do that. And I take it off in the middle of the night. It's crazy.
The mask is super important. The mask that you choose, take it from Princess and the Pea. tried many.
Okay.
I have a really great.
Okay. Which one do you have?
You know, I'll email it to you. I can't, okay. I've had it for such a long time. And I got one from my husband. It's like $25 and some woman in Canada makes them. They're handmade, they're silk and
ooh,
they're super comfortable. Cause you know, silk is good for the skin and things like that.
Fancy.
And it's comfortable. And it's not, it doesn't pull, it's comfortable.
Yeah, because that's the thing. The little elastics kind of pull on your hair, especially if you've got long hair. And
it's adjustable. And
Okay, I'll try it. I'll try anything. I mean, I used to be such a good sleeper, and you're right. After going to the Dutch seminar this weekend, we learned so much about, I mean, the big takeaway was stress. You know, managing your stress, your cortisol, which ultimately is your blood sugar, which ultimately is your weight gain and your, you know, adipose tissue on your visceral fat on your belly. And I mean, at really all of that, which is hormones, which is misery, you know, or which can equate to misery for many women and men. So the big takeaway before we even got to, you know, androgens and estrogen and progesterone and everything was, what's going on with your stress? Like that is, make sure your client gets to sleep. Make sure the patient sleeps. And I just kept thinking, you know, I'm not sleeping through the night lately for a good 6 or 7 months. I'm just not. So, and this could be to do with, you know, hormonal changes, but I think what you're saying is starting to really resonate with me also. It's just, it's all part of it, isn't it? It's like you have to address all of these different pillars of health, they kept calling them at the seminar, pillars of health.
If I hear noise when I'm sleeping, I'm like you, boom, awake. I'm growing up in the woods. Any little noise, awake.
Yeah.
So I have to wear earplugs if I'm any place other than my bedroom here.
Wow. Earplugs.
Yeah. Super, super sensitive with that. And I think your body eventually learns, at least mine did, like, we're going to sleep and we're going to really sleep deep.
Yeah.
It eventually got that.
Yeah.
It definitely took a while. And the key was removing the stress from my life.
Yeah.
For sure. And all the things that cause stress.
So what if you can't remove your stress, right? What if your job sucks and your kids are pains and your husband is annoying or whatever? And that none of that is my life, but what if that was? How do you remove it? You can't remove it. So you're saying definitely look at your home environment. What else do you think?
You have to find ways to nurture yourself and prioritize yourself.
And waking up and praying or meditating or journaling, right? And what else?
It's the reconnection. So stress, you know, always hear that. Oh, it's your stress. But when I had my hair sample, you know, analysis done, Morley did that for me. And he showed me that, yeah, I knew I had a stressful job, but what he showed me was that I had that history. It's not just now. Like he called me a stress cadet. He's like, you've been this way for like ever, for a really long time. You know, where in your life did you make the decision that it's all up to you?
Oh.
That you had to do it all yourself. That's where the seed of stress was planted, because then I just kept acting that out.
Interesting.
That to me was like a super, super wake-up call. So it starts with changing inside your beliefs, your old stories, and then this, you won't attract stressful situations in your life. Honestly, that is how it works. I'm
Yeah.
always going to go back to that, getting reconnected, you know, finding
Yeah.
those ways. If you're processing a lot in your life and you're not moving your body, you're probably going to suffer, because there's something it's called getting ashy, which Gay and Harville Hendricks coined that term. They wrote books like Conscious Loving, and they're both medical people and psychologists and all of that. It's been around forever. And so this, when you're processing stuff in your life and stress, it accumulates in the body. You need to move the body, not just go for a walk, dance around the house, whatever. You've got to get it out in order to keep your system clear. I'm a huge believer in that. That's one way you can dissipate stress. Earthing, you know, is another way to dissipate stress. Whatever that, I put my feet on the bare ground every single day for a period of time. I don't care if you go and touch a tree. You know, I have an earthing mat under my desk. I did at my real estate office. I sleep on an earthing sheet. Get reconnected. Get reconnected to yourself. Stress is caused because you think you've got to do it all yourself. And it's not really the truth. The truth is, you get reconnected and let another energy guide your life.
Well, not only is it not the truth, it's not possible.
It's not
It's not
possible.
possible. It's impossible for you to do it yourself, to do it all yourself, and to think that you think you're God. You think you're in charge of it all. You think that you can do everything. And it's just like, that was a relief for me to kind of realize that. It makes me think about back then when I sort of had this realization. I was living not too far from here, not that long ago, and coming out of kind of what you had gone through, which is, here I am, years of gut health. I was already podcasting. I was already doing all these things for myself and sharing the information, and then end up with a blood transfusion because I was severely anemic and bleeding out basically every month. And then I had this, well, I won't go through all of it, but ultimately, what was the trigger was once I did have the blood transfusion and ended up getting, it kind of gave me a leg up, and I was able to get really start to allow the things that I was doing to start to work. And then there was this accident by my house, which I've talked about in the past on podcasts. There was a guy was killed, was shot right in front, literally in front of our window, just 20 feet into the street, and in the middle of the day, and he was it was a gang related thing, and I spent that day, at home. I got home from Whole Foods, and it had just happened, and the cops had just arrived, and they had set up a tent, and I was like, "What's going on?" And because I was right there on the corner of it, they had detectives come over, and they were searching the house and the backyard because they couldn't find the suspect, and just trying to figure out where he had fled and which direction, blah blah blah. And I happened to have met the guy that was shot in the morning when on my way to yoga. I met him. He was in front of our house because he was directing traffic. It's a long story, but basically, he was working, and he was just a gang guy who was working and was out of his, territory, and ended up getting killed by someone who was in this territory in Venice, which is a big Crips area, shoreline Crips, whatever. So I was spending the day. My husband got off work. We were able to get him home too because it was all blocked off until midnight that night. I was so worried. He was watching TV. He was kind of like, he's from New Jersey, so I was just staring out the window every 5 minutes looking at this tent, that this body lay under this tent. And I was just like, you know, I finally just literally fell to my knees and started praying for this person, because I knew his family either doesn't know he's dead, or they know he's dead and he's not there and they don't know where he is. And here his body, I'm the closest human being that probably cares at the moment to his body. So I was literally at my windowsill praying for this guy. And that from that day, they came up at midnight to get that body. He lay there from about 4:15 to midnight in the street on a July 2nd hot day. Anyway, so I really got affected and didn't realize to what degree that this had affected me. And the days to follow were very dark. And some weird stuff happened in the house too. And I had this, like, now this is going off in a crazy direction, but it's going to lead to a question for you. Okay. There was this, you know, a couple of, I just felt like he was in the house, and there was some stuff that happened, some things that moved and really violently moved in the house. It scared the crap out of me. And I was like, and I didn't really correlate it at first. I wasn't like, oh, this guy's spirit is in my house or anything like that. But I was, and then days and days, days go by. I'm super depressed. I'm really, really deep in the dark, you know, and ended up going to see this spiritual worker that I knew. Peter Evans, who I've talked about a few times, and I walked in the door, and he doesn't usually say anything. He doesn't channel or anything like that. He works with energy and helps you to breathe and moves chakras and opens chakras and helps you do that kind of stuff. And the minute I walked in, he goes, "Oh, who's your friend?" And I go, "What?" He goes, "You brought a friend with you today." And I'm like, "What are you freaking me out right now? What are you talking about?" And then he goes, "Well, we'll talk about it later." I'm like, okay. So I did still, this was a good month and a half later, and I didn't think anything. Cut to the end of the session. He says to me, "Okay, so let's talk about this person. Is this a relative? Somebody just passed violently recently. He's a relative." And he said his name even. I can't remember. Oh, no, I do, but I don't want to say his name. And he said, "Oh, his name is," and he starts to say it, and I'm like, "Oh, yes, that is this guy that got killed at my house." And he said, "Okay, well, you know, you brought him with you." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, you must have been the light near him when he was crossing over and he came to you." And I said, "No, I don't want that, you know?"
Right.
So anyway, long story short, he kind of helped me with this process, and he sends the, you know, calls on angels and he calls on Jesus and he calls on everybody. And, and this helps this spirit to cross over, and that the spirit had thanked me because he was terrified. It was really intense. I was in a puddle. Mm-hmm. So I go home and I couldn't, my life changed after that. I was like, not because of Peter, but because of that whole experience. Mm-hmm. I started going to church again, and it was this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But my point is to you, I wanted to move, and I was praying that we would move. And sure enough, the whole, our lease fell apart. The owner decided she was going to sell. Cut to us moving here. And I swear, I felt like I died and went to heaven. Like, we came here, this house is surrounded by flowers. The neighbors are amazing. And I thought to myself, what if we couldn't move? Mm-hmm. How could I rectify that situation? What if someone has a haunted house? What if someone has a spirit? What if someone is stuck in a home that they own that has this kind of energy, or someone they love died in the house? Mm-hmm. What can you do with that? That was a very long story. Sorry.
No, that was a great, story. Thank you for sharing that. Actually, I was thinking, as you were speaking, long before you said it, that the reason that that happened in front of your house is because you were the person that was going to pray for him all day. And he actually really needed that. So that was really key. And I also believe that at some point in time, you had made the agreement that you'd be the one who would be there. I do believe that. I believe things like that are not, yes, me too. They're not for chance, that you told him you would help him at some point. So at some place you were connected, and he, yes, made the mistake of attaching to you as the light instead of, you know, continuing to go through. So I would work with that. You know, there's a couple of different ways of working with things like that. What you did was right. You can go to someone else who's really adept at clearing you. That's
And you did, and great, perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually moved your space too. You can do that as well, or the space could be cleared. So sometimes there's so many ways of doing this because each situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a rental property where a man tried to basically kill his girlfriend within 24 hours of renting my place, which is my sacred place, you know, and, you know, he tried to strangle her basically.
Whoa.
So I had to think, why did this happen in my house? I'm all about energy and feng shui. Why would there, something that dark be attracted there in front of me? What do I have to do with this? And there were many levels where I did have a connection with it. I had been in a situation where a man put his hands around my throat in the past and just, you know, not like trying to kill me, but he did do it and it triggered something. Mm-hmm. And then I became hypothyroid, but that's a different story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. You know, the freedom of your voice. But I had to reclaim a power within myself in order to deal with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have to clear the space just because there is an emotional residue that's left when, have you ever walked into a room when people have been arguing or something and they stop?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And you can feel it? Okay, so you're affected by things that you cannot see on many levels. And this is just true. And you just got to know this.
Mm-hmm.
Also with hauntings, you know, I had a client who was convinced that her house was haunted. I asked her, how do you know that this is haunted? What do you experience? She said, well, things keep breaking, like electrical things, lights going out, you know, things moving, my blender broke, like all of these things. I just feel like my house is haunted. And she was a woman, she was very shy, had long dark hair that would hang over her, you know, face. And she just kind of whispered up at me, here was her problems. Can I help her with this?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, you know, great. Let's see what I can do. And as I was getting ready to start working on her space, she calls me on the phone. I'm working at home. She calls me on the phone and says, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, there's 7 horses buried on my property.
Oh.
I went, oh, okay. Because the weird thing was, is on the way home from teaching class, she was in one of my classes, I stopped at the grocery store and picked up a bulk bag of carrots. I don't know why. I've never done that before, and I've never done it since. I don't make carrot juice. There's no reason for me to get a bulk bag of carrots, but I did. So I went, okay, all right. So I guess that's why I got horses, carrots. I don't even know anything about horses.
Uh-huh.
So with her situation, what had happened, what I was able to find out is that there was one horse that was taken off the property when the people moved. The other ones died and were buried there. And one of them that was buried was looking for its mate, the one that got taken off the property when the people moved. And just kept going to the house to say, hey, where's my friend? Where's my friend?
Mm.
It wasn't haunting her, per se. It was saying, hey, where's my friend? But there's another level here where horses represent personal power. And horses buried means personal power buried.
Mm.
In her own personal power was buried. She had no sense of it whatsoever. So we had to work on that level of, you know, in feng shui, it's called feeding the hungry ghosts. And I worked that level. I took the carrots and I spread them out around the backyard. I could tell where the horses were buried. I can feel it in my body.
Mm.
And then I had her do some things in order to reclaim her own power. So sometimes, you know, hauntings can be a lot of different things. It can also be about things that should have died and buried in the past. Mm. And you never buried them. So you're attracted to a house that's haunted, but it's you. It's things that you should have let go of and you should be dead and buried a long time ago.
Right.
You got to work on both levels, or you can clear, you know, the hauntedness, but the person's going to move into another haunted house or get into another situation like that. What mm-hmm. is it that's haunting you? See what I mean?
It's almost like maybe the spirits if indeed that's what they are almost doing you a favor in a way. They're kind of there to teach you a lesson or to help you with something. That's very cool.
Yes.
I like that way of thinking about ghosts.
Exactly. I doing this for 27 years, I have never, knock on wood, but I have never had to deal with negative, dark entity spirits, that kind of stuff. That's not my personal jam. maybe they think they're wasting their time with me. I don't know. It's not my
You're
thing.
Scaring them.
You're too powerful. But I've definitely heard stories of people doing the kind of work that I do and, getting attacked and that kind of stuff. That's just never been my thing. I do a lot of personal protection and stuff like that.
Yeah. Too much. You're bringing so much light. That's why. Hopefully. That's great. So tell me more. I mean, there's so many things that I have to, hang on. Let me write this time down so I can edit that. Oh, there's no timestamp on here. Darn it. Okay. I'll go back and look at it.
It is 11:47.
Oh, okay. Gosh, that went so fast. Oh, we did get started a little bit late.
Yeah.
Okay, let me make sure if there's any other questions I had written down. Okay, so basically, I feel like, when we talk about addressing our wellness or our, like, in a holistic way, what, like, addressing it, I feel, and I know this for a fact now out of experience, that addressing, gut health, mineral balance, stress management. And now I'm convinced, not just after speaking with you, but also in my experience, addressing your living situation, your environment. And so I think it's an amazing thing to be able to have somebody like you. And I'm going to send you all my clients who I feel like could use this, which is probably everyone really, to just go, because you have to be, especially when you're suffering from things that are so difficult and you can't find the answers and you're like, gosh, I keep doing this. I'm trying this and not making any kind of headway at all to actually have a session with you. Do you do long distance stuff?
Yes. Oh yeah. Everything is long distance.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yes. So the way I work with people, we're either on the phone or Zoom, Skype, whatever. Mm-hmm. Which is really interesting, because we'll work whatever it is that they is up for them the most in their life, relationship, career, health, whatever it is, we're going to, just kind of pinpoint, this is what we're working on right now. We're going to do kind of the mindset work of, what they're struggling with. Let's talk about that. Let's get it out. Let's look at tools that we can help clear that within yourself. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to look at the space that correlates to that particular issue in your house. And we're going to make adjustments there. And they do that through, it's kind of like a video walkthrough that I've done for years with in real estate.
Oh, cool.
Right? So they're kind of walking me through, here's the area. So what's so cool about it for me is that I'm not getting input from their whole house. I'm getting the one thing. It's like a doctor that knows exactly where to go, not looking at everything. They go, okay, here's the root. So here, the root of this problem lies in your bedroom. Okay, let's look at this. You want a relationship, but interesting. All the pictures on your wall are of, women behind fans.
Right.
Single bicycle in front of a gate, Right. Kind of like, wait, what's the message? Everything's gray, gray is the new color right now. Mm-hmm. Not so much for a bedroom, not the greatest thing. So we can, it's so easy to like, to see it. It's amazing. It's just like, wow. Okay. Let's do this. There's always resistance. Nobody really wants to change because it's hard. Mm-hmm. So they sit with it. Then they make the change. And then things start to happen pretty quickly. And then again, you're those new neural pathways, because now you go, oh, okay, this picture represents this, or this, this color represents that. You remember it every time you look at it. So you're just thinking, oh, healthy relationship, supportive, loving relationship. Sure enough, you're thinking that, it comes into your life.
Wow. I love that. I've got to think about all the pictures on my wall. Like this one.
Yeah. It's just, it's great when you have a map that you can follow. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I really just want to give people the tools to be able to do this for themselves, because we're affected by what we cannot see. We're affected by our relationships to our space.
Mm-hmm.
It just reads like a book for me.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And you seem like you're really good at it. You have that eye to be able to identify it. And that's very cool. I think I might have to have a session actually with you, like a proper session for other issues that we did not talk about. Just kidding. but that's so good. So I'm really grateful that we did this. This is awesome. I love how unique it is. And I love how, meaningful it is, you know, and I think it can help a lot of people. Just quickly before we wrap it up, have you heard of Vastu?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So that was something that I worked with Dr. Marshall a lot. His wife, Dr. Forbes, she was like an expert in Vastu, and she was using that. They had all this stuff they sold to try to help to remediate the electromagnetic frequencies and where the water is and where the, you know, EMFs were coming, and they did their own version of it. Do you work with that and remediate the electromagnetic frequency in the house too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I do. But here's the thing, you can get crazy about this kind of stuff. Just unplug your internet. Or unplug your TV. Don't sleep next to the clock radio. It's one of the worst possible things you can have next to your head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some simple things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Geomancy, that is, you know, looking at earth energies. And so, yes, we're affected by electromagnetic field energies. We're also affected by cosmic energies, you know, solar flares, all that kind of stuff. So if you just focus on raising your own personal vibration, that's your biggest connection. I've worked with people, not even worked with them. I've gone into their space. There was a priest, I went into his space, and it was horrible. It was so, everything about it was feng shui wrong.
Wow.
But because he was so connected, he was totally at peace and happy and healthy.
Mm.
So
I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know, same thing with your health. So the reason Vastu works or feng shui works or, clearing your clutter, whatever it is, the reason they work, particularly the older ones like Vastu and feng shui, is because when you decide to take on that belief system, you're plugging yourself into a lineage of thousands of years of people who have followed a certain tradition, right? So you're getting all of that power. Same thing with like saying the rosary, right? You're plugging into a lineage of people who believe a certain way, and there's a power there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a method, but there is no one method.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Native American culture too. It's like they're, you know, that's some really old cultural ways of, you know, almost like just ritually taking on things that have, you know, kind of afflicted humans for so long, and these things help people. And so it's like, yeah, it's got power behind it. That's so interesting.
A teepee has huge power. One of my teachers told me that he was a medical doctor, Chinese, incredible feng shui teacher. And he said, you know, if you sleep on the ground in a circular form, a teepee, you'll heal your cancer.
Wow.
He was that adamant about it. He said, there's something very healing about sleeping in that shape. I guess probably it draws the energy up and in that contact with the earth.
I've heard that actually. Also from Dr. Medici used to say, you want to get healthy, go live in a yurt, in a round yurt in the forest, live in a yurt, unplugged, off grid, live in a yurt.
To heal, but maybe not continue that way full time.
Yeah. Well, no, he probably meant forever. He's like that, but although he doesn't. So anyway, oh my gosh, that was so good. I could keep you for another hour. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you'll
Kitty,
be hearing from me.
Let me tell you one more tip.
Tell me.
Sorry. I wanted to say this.
It's fine.
I discovered something recently called, it's focused life force energy. FLFE.org. F is in Frank, L is in Laura, F is in Frank, E.org. And what it does is it puts in your coordinates of your home or address, whatever, and it works with, you can read all about it because it's
kind of tells you like where the ley lines are and what.
No,
like,
it raises the frequency of your place.
What?
Yes. Okay. So you can read about these two, you know, nerdy guys that figured this out. It works with quantum physics, everything else. So you can do a 15-day trial for free. Okay. And I did it.
Uh-huh.
I did it because I thought, well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to read all about it because I'm always researching everything to the nth degree. I just want to try it and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So I tried it for 15 days and what mostly affected my husband, he got like, oh my God, like all of a sudden, all kinds of consulting calls out of nowhere for, you know, and as I said at the beginning, he wasn't working at the time. So it was kind of a pretty big deal. I felt definitely a shift. And so I have it on my house.
Uh-huh.
I just turned it on for this, like $300 for the year. I thought, what the heck? You know, this,
wow. How do they do it though? Do they talk about that?
Yes, you can. Yeah. Right. You might want to talk to them actually. I mean, I have nothing to do with that company, but just as a feng shui, geomancer, whatever, I understand the concept of what they're doing.
Right.
Kind of like, you'd have to read it because they'll explain it much more scientifically than I will. But you can also put it on things like something you wear or on your phone.
Oh, interesting.
So if you're traveling a lot, it goes with you. But I definitely noticed a difference. And I've been, you know, telling that to people, like, what are some little tricks? Kind of like those dark glasses.
Well, yeah. I'm getting those for sure.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Well, going to totally look that up. That's wild. I thought you were going to say like, it shows you know, where you are in like association to ley lines on the planet.
Anything
and stuff.
That's going to give you a leg up. I'm all
right.
For,
I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks, Kitty. It's been great.
Oh, Laura. She and I are just going to be like BFFs soon. We already are. We're like cyber BFFs. She's one of these people that you start talking to her and you just spill the beans, you know? You know those people? You just all of a sudden you realize that you've just told her your entire life story and you're crying and you're like, she's that kind of person. It's great. I really like her. And guess what she's doing? She is giving a free 45 minutes. That's like a whole session. Interior alchemy session with virtual feng shui. So it's a $325 value. And she is doing that for free. So you just have to mention that you heard her on Stuff Your Doctor Should Know with Healthy Gut Girl. And she's going to hook you up. And you should do it. You should totally do it. We talked after that podcast and she helped me out a lot and we're going to have a chat again. And it's just very, very good stuff. So yes. So thanks to Laura. And then I also want to just remind you to go to healthygutgirl.com, click on the shop page and check out all the shopping you can do there for a good price. And don't forget to follow me on healthygutgirl_ on Instagram, where I post a lot of mini blogs with a lot of quick science-based facts that you can just read quickly. They're not like long extended blogs that I send to your email and junk up your email, but just a quick like, hey, check this out. This is a fact. We eat 5 grams of plastic a week, which is the size of a credit card. And here are the facts about why we do, how we do it, how to avoid it. And so that's the kind of stuff I like to post on Instagram. And then it does share over to Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, then it's there too. But if you're not on Instagram, you're missing the giveaways and the free stuff I do and all that. So get up on Instagram. And what else? I think that's kind of everything, friends. We're going to do a whole anti-aging month in November. I have Dr. Felice Gersh, who wrote PCOS, SOS. And she's one of the functional medicine doctors who was at the endocrine conference that I was blown away by. And I've been bugging her since about coming on the show, and she's going to, which is great and exciting. And so I'm collecting questions on the estrogen dominant support group. You're going to want to join on there if you're not a member and give me whatever questions you have on there. And I'm going to ask her and we're going to do a show with her. And the whole month of November is going to be people like her, just fantastic people who are going to help us to age gracefully. peacefully, guys. So we're not leaving this planet kicking and screaming, right? We're just doing it gracefully, because I'm going to be 50. I'm going to be 50 next month. Okay, friends. Well, thanks again, and we will see you soon.